Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Buddy.
Awesome.
Awesome. I like that. That's good. Well done, Tony.
Everything is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, don't go there. Don't get me singing. You'd have to edit that one out, wouldn't you? So, copywritten that one. Anyway. Right. Right. Vision. Vision. Here we are. Why are we here? Pastor Shane was asking us a couple of weeks back. And the answer is?
To make Jesus known.
Top of the class. To make Jesus known, yeah. So last week was our call. We're here to live by faith, to honour God, etc. Alright, there was a whole load of stuff. Good stuff that Pastor Shane brought to us last week. And this week is titled, The Who. People of a certain age, I know what you're thinking. It's right, the copyright has run out on that one, Hazel. You won't have to cut that one out, all right? It ran out a long time ago. All right. Roger Daltrey, he sang that famous line, didn't he? I hope I die before I get old. Do you think he's changed his mind?
Yeah.
All the stupid things that you say. That's got to be one of the most stupid lines in the song ever, isn't it? You know. There he is, that old fella, sitting there with no hair and no teeth, I expect. All right. Anyway. Got a Christian version of that song is I hope you live before you get old. How about that one?
Yeah.
Do you like it? All right, and keep on living. Life to the full. There's no age limit with God.
That's right.
I know I'm speaking to a bunch of youngsters here, so, you know, just for when you get older, all right? Youngsters. Right, that was very diplomatic. I'm on a roll. So, oh, look at that. Fantastic. Keith is on the job this morning. Excellent. And we're in Ephesians. Pastor Shane brought some of Ephesians. And I'm going to bring a little bit more of it as well. So here we are, verse 3 and 4 of Ephesians chapter 4. Says this: make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Binding yourselves together. What a thought. You know, that's closeness, isn't it? That talks about we are not separated. We are absolutely joined. And we cannot be taken apart in any way, shape or form. Okay, we've bound ourselves together. Right, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. Okay, so make every effort. Who is to make every effort?
We are.
Everybody say me.
Me.
You. That's you. The who. Alright, so the who is you. The who is me. Alright, effort. That means activity, being active. God wants us all being active and united together. And that is a command, isn't it? You know, it wasn't something he was, it wasn't kind of like a request, you know, make every effort, he's saying, you know, do it. It's a positive thing, isn't it? You know, that God wants us to do and that Paul is bringing out, make every effort to be united together. God wants you to bring your skills and your gifting to serve the vision of make Jesus known.
Yeah.
All right, how do you know where your skills and your gifting lie? I believe it's where your heart is, okay? We was at the Wednesday morning prayer meeting, and Charlene, she was a bit rude. She never asked my permission. She used Psalm 37, verse 4, because God wrote that for me. But because I'm living in generosity, it's one of the pillars, you know. It's all right. You can use it, Charlene. That's fine. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So basically it works like this. Here's the principle. You're delighting in God, you're going to want what He wants.
Yeah?
Yeah? And so the deal is sealed. He's going to give it to you. Whatever you're wanting when you're delighting in God, you can be sure it's coming from the heart of God, and God is going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Bit of my history. I did a YTS. Does anybody remember what a YTS was?
Yeah.
Youth training scheme. I love that. Ted's got his hand up. What did you do your YTS in, Ted? Don't go there. All right. I was actually in an office in my YTS, and I absolutely hated it. Yeah, Shane's smiling. And and they absolutely hated me. I don't know why. But I just copied my brother. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I left school, you know. So I just copied my brother because he went into insurance. So I thought, seems like an interesting thing to do. I don't know how you do it, Hazel. I just don't know how you do it. Okay. But, you know, things like, you know, just go with your gifting. Like computers, don't put a computer in front of me. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster. It's all going to go pear-shaped. All right. There's other people that are gifted on computers, okay? It floats their boat. It floats their boat. What's the definition of a computer nerd? Well, what is it? Somebody... Angus? Yes, well, Angus isn't here, so we can say that. But I'm sure he's going to listen to it later on. So that was your wife. She's just blessing you, Angus. God bless you at home there. All right. Right, a definition of a computer nerd, someone who drives a better car than you do. Okay. So, someone who's highly sought after, and they speak nerdish that only other nerds can understand, don't they? They can explain all this kind of nerdish language to you, but it's kind of like, you're just kind of like, yeah. Anyway, or is it just me? Anyway, the Bible does say it is a good thing to enjoy your work. Hey, man, you're there most of your life. You may as well enjoy it, aren't you? You know, it's there. Enjoy the work that you're doing under the sun. Ecclesiastes. Right. In a church body context, operating in your God-given skills and gifts are going to bring fulfillment. Yeah. That's one of the words for today, okay? And they are the things that will bring eternal reward because you're doing the thing that God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Fulfillment is different to worldly pleasure.
Right.
The things that fulfill worldly pleasure have no reward in heaven. None at all. I mean, some of them are neutral. Some of them are just plain bad. Some of them are sinful. I didn't want to stay away from them, okay? But Jesus has promised, you know, he wants to come and he wants to give us life to the full, a full life, okay? Comes with a great reward. When we're living for God and doing what he wants us to do, we will be fulfilled and there will be a reward for what we're doing as well.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor Shane has alluded to it this morning already. God is not interested in our comfort, but he's interested in bringing us into fulfillment.
Yeah.
Come on.
God has actually got a vision for you. I know we're talking a lot about vision. You know, what's the vision of the church? But God's got a vision for you guys.
That's right. Yeah.
That is to make you like Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. To make you like Jesus. In your sphere of influence. You know, if we lived like that, if we could live like Jesus, the job would be done, yeah? The gospel would go to the end of the world. And we'd all be living in the kingdom come right now, I think, you know. We need to have that goal in sight, to be like Jesus wherever we are, whatever we do, wherever we're going. Be Jesus in our sphere of influence. We need to catch the vision that God has got for us. He's not in the entertainment business, he's in the fulfillment business. Okay. So Charlene's already given us a definition of fulfill. I'll see her later. All right, and this is what it was: to achieve or to realize something desired, promised, or predicted, to satisfy, to bring to fruition. Do you like that? My favorite one that she didn't actually add on there was to consummate. But let's not go there. All right. All right. Marriage. Anyway. Right. Together as a body, we are to have big influence.
Yeah.
Each member doing its part.
Yeah.
God has called us to be a body. I didn't know whether you know that. You probably do. In fact, I know you do. All right. But God has called us to be a body. And we're to have massive influence when each member is doing its part.
Yeah.
Dare I say it, by not doing your part, you will be taking apart the unity. Mm. Right. God wants us to opt in, he doesn't want us to opt out. Mm. All right, Sila, think on that. To see a vision fulfilled, you need unity. Amos 3 verse 3 says this: can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? And I think we all know the answer to that one. The answer is, no, they can't. We need to walk together in one direction to see the vision, to make Jesus known, fulfilled. Okay, I'm going to ask my my compadre James. Where is he? He's at the back there, okay? We're going to change the order around a bit, mate. You come forward here. So we're going to start. Now, imagine we're a body together, and we're deciding that, hey, we want to walk together. And you're a little bit indifferent, mate. Okay, you're a little bit indifferent. So I've got to carry you. So you're going to have to jump on me back now, mate. All right. Are you ready? Oh, that's what 16 stone sounds like. Oh, sounds like, feels like. All right, are you ready? Okay, James, come on, Stead. Come on, Stead. You're supposed to say something now, James.
Yeah, whatever.
That's better. That's better. Come on, Stead.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so tired. Right, step down now, James. Thank you very much. So, as you can imagine, if you was doing that long enough, you're going to start aching, you're going to start stumbling, you're going to start falling. We don't want to be carrying people. Do you know what I mean? Do you get the illustration?
Yes.
I thought you might. All right, so the next one, James. What I want you to do, see, I want to go that way, but you're a little bit resistant, mate. You don't want to go that way. So, James, we're going that way. Come on, mate. James. No, come on, James. Please go that way. All right. We get the illustration, yeah? All right, we get the illustration. And the next one, James. We're together, we're united, and we're going in the same direction. Tomalson!
Hey!
Hey! Thank you, James. You may sit down now. You may sit down. So we're either in one of those three camps, all right, as Christians, shall we say, as the church. We can be people that are a little bit indifferent. So you've got to be dragged. You've got to be cajoled. You've got to be persuaded. And it can weigh you down. You know, if you're a leadership, or if you're a church wanting to go in a certain direction and people aren't really in the boat, then it's going to be an awful heavy drag to get everybody going. And then one of the other ones you can be resisting, okay, which is going to stop the vision dead, which is no good at all, okay? Or we can be like the last one, where we're united, we're together, we're walking in one direction, and we're going to get to the destination that God has got for us. Okay. So if you was in that camp, or imagine there's a person who's in the camp where you're resisting, they once asked Pastor Colin a question, and he was like, oh look, the time might come undone. Maybe I should just leave it. I can't see how it works now. It's been like that all the time, has it? Is it working all right? Just hanging loose there, baby. Oh, it's all gone pear-shaped. All right, staying like that now. Everybody's going to be looking at this all service now. Oh, dear. So good. All right, then. Pastor Colin, who's asked this question, he says, somebody had, what they did, they write some questions down and they put it to the panel. And this question came out to Pastor Connor and said, what happens if you don't agree with the pastor's vision? And this was his answer to that one. It says, well, what happens is you need to be taken out at dawn and shot. All right, it was kind of joking when he said it, but we get what he was saying, all right? At least everybody could then go forward without having opposition and without people withstanding. Do you know what I mean? Of course, it's better to repent and to change your mind, to get on board, because that is going to bring blessing and fulfillment into your life, and it will bring blessing and fulfillment to everybody else who's trying to go in the direction that God has told them to go in. All right. An army attacking a stronghold may branch right and it may branch left, but to be successful, they've still got to go to the objective. Yeah? They gotta get there and destroy the enemy stronghold. And we do that as Christians by making Jesus known.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, I've got a little illustration for you now. I know Duncan will know what this is. How many other people know what this is? It's a trip switch, yes. In fact, it's a 63 amp. Here we go. 30 milliamp RCD trip switch. Okay.
So,
stop it, I'm preaching, all right, I'll pick on you in a minute if you don't watch it. All right, okay. Now, when 30 milliamps, right, 30 milliamps, when that flows to Earth, all right, what this is supposed to do is, bang, shut off. All right, now, they tell us, in fact, in the regs, the electrical regulations, all right, I won't go there. All right, it's got to cut out in 0.3 seconds, 0.3 of a second this is supposed to cut out. And when you've got electricity passing through your body, that's actually quite a long time. I know. All right, so this is supposed to cut out, and as you can see on there, it's got an orange button. It actually says T on it. And I know you people, how many people know that they've got an RCD within their house? Mm. Wave at me. The rest of you, come and see me after. Pastor Lynn, you've got an RCD in your house, all right.
Same for you, is that?
Yeah. I'm just telling you, you have, all right. And Brian. In fact, you might even have two. But anyway. Right, where was I? Yeah, so depending on the age of your house, a lot of you will have one of these things with a whole load of ever circuit breakers on them, all right, in your house. And I'm sure you've all been testing out every 3 months, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, like it says on here, it says, important, test this button every 3 months to make sure the mechanics of it is working all right. Because, and I'm sure you conscientious folk, you're doing that all the time, aren't you? Testing it every 3 months. I'm going to take that as a no, all right? Now, an RCD's job is to respond any time of day or night whenever there's a fault. You can see where I'm getting to, I hope, a little bit later on. Pastor Shane, he found out that he's not really got a modern fuse board not so long ago. He's got one RCD, and he thought that turned all the electric off, and lo and behold, he found out it didn't when he had a shock pass through his body. Is that right?
That's true.
That's absolutely true. All right, so don't be like that, all right? Anyway, all right, I'm digressing again. That's all right. I just letting the people know that's why your beard's a little bit curly sometimes, you know what I mean? Okay. Right. You have a test imoni. You have a testimony. All right. You can use it to make Jesus known. All right. You can tell people, hey, this is what Jesus has done for me. And people say, well, when did you become a Christian? You can tell them, you can give them your testimony. All right? Hey, I used to be such and such, but then Jesus came into my life and this has happened. All right? So what we need to do is to test our testimony. All right. So I'm going to give you some homework today. Perhaps if you're having lunch or you're having some dinner, get with your wife or your kids or your friends or whoever you're with, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever, and test out your testimony. Because just like an RCD, it should be ready to respond at any second, yeah, all right, any time when it is needed. Yeah. We need to be ready to be giving our testimony any time it is called on, all right? When somebody asks us, it says we need to be ready to give a reason for the faith that we profess. That's a big word. All right, so we need to be ready any time, all right? So it's good to practice your testimony sometimes. Test your testimony. Yeah. Do it, you know, do it for a minute, do it for 30 seconds, give you a short version, your long version, whatever. Don't make it up. Don't make it up like a bank robber testimony or something like that, just to make it more exciting. You know, just give your story of what God has done for you. How many people have had God do stuff for them in their life?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. If you haven't, we can pray for you later. All right. So test your testimony. Right. We need to be ready in 0.3 seconds, all right, to give that testimony when somebody talks to us or if we're talking to somebody and the opportunity comes. If your RCD, right, if your RCD, stop looking at that, Duncan, that's mine, all right. I'm going to recycle that one. I can recycle it. If your RCD doesn't trip in time, something is wrong, okay? Something is wrong. If you're not giving your testimony, something is wrong. All right. If we haven't got a testimony to give, perhaps our life's not backing it up. Hey, there's something wrong. If that thing doesn't trip, it's because it's gone kaput, or perhaps there's a fault in the wiring that's causing it not to trip out. And it, you know, it's the same with us as Christians. We should be having a good, relevant, positive testimony that we can tell people, telling them our God story, the good news that God has done for us. And the good news here this morning is, if you don't feel as though you've got a relevant testimony in a moment, God can put that right for you as well. Even this morning, He can do that. All right.
Yeah.
Don't you feel good and fulfilled when God has used you to give a little bit of your story,
yep,
talk to someone in a situation? Doesn't it just do something good on the inside of you? You know, it gives that sense of fulfillment. Yeah, that was great to be able to talk to somebody that doesn't know Jesus about God, about the good things that He's done in your life. You know, I believe it's like God's spirit inside of us is just kind of, yeah, he's happy, you know. He's given us his nod of approval. He's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you've spoken out for me. You know, that was a real positive thing that you did. And God's spirit inside of us has given us that sense of fulfillment, that sense of contentment inside.
Yeah.
Give your story, all right, because you can't take Pastor Shane everywhere. All right, where you go to work, he can't go to work where you're working. You've got to go there. You've got to do it. Okay. So we were talking to the chaps on Tuesday about the sense of responsibility that we've all got to take for ourselves. You know, we were saying, who's responsible for my life? I am. Who's responsible for my wife? I am. Who's responsible for my family? I am.
Yeah.
Okay. You can give your testimony. You can give your story about how you used to be messed up and Jesus made you whole, or what Jesus has saved you from. Yeah. You were headed for trouble, but God stepped in and He saved you. God's healed you. You know, all the things that God does for us. Just be ready. A testimony, it gives evidence of what you have seen, yeah? What you've seen in your life. Can we commit to try and give our testimony out once a week at least? There's a fault for us. There's a fault for us, all right? We need to be doing it. If we're going to make Jesus known, that's the kind of thing that we've got to be doing. We're all learning. We can all learn on the job. It's all right. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be totally polished. But it does have to get out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You can say, easy one. If someone brings a situation, say, oh, I'm struggling with this. Or this is, you know, I've got this pain here. Or I can pray for you. Let me pray for you. You know, and when I go home tonight, you don't have to kind of like just pounce on them there and then and start praying for them, because they'll probably run away from you thinking you're a complete and utter nut job. All right? But you can say, I'm going to pray for you for that. You know, you just bring God into the situation.
Yeah.
They'll probably go, wow, they're going to pray. They're going to pray for me. Do you know what I mean? That's what happens to people sometimes. You know, I'm going to pray for you. It's kind of like, wow, thank you very much. You know, have you ever had that reaction when you've offered to pray for people? Interesting, isn't it? You know, when you bring God into people's situations, it can be very positive, even if they can be cynical to you. You say you're going to offer to pray for them. Most people are going to take it.
Yeah.
You know, very few people say, I do not want you to do that. In fact, I've never had that reaction. Never had that reaction. Okay. Right. Now then, we're going to go to Acts 1, verse 8, a very well-known verse. Most of us could probably quote it off by heart, but not in every single version of the Bible. So I'm going to read it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, God has given us the power that we need to be witnesses. All right, so just point to the person next to you and say, you.
You.
Point to yourself and say,
you. Me.
Say, I can do this thing. Yeah. God has given you the power to be a witness,
yeah,
and to make Jesus known.
Yes.
And hey guys, anybody out there, and do you think to yourself, what's he talking about, this being filled with the Spirit? We're going to give you an opportunity at the end. If there's anybody here who's thinking to himself, yeah, I'd love to be filled with the Spirit, I want to know God's power inside of me, hey, we'd love to pray for you at the end, alright?
Yeah.
So that's going to actually happen. So, yeah, you gear yourself up for that. And, you know, no stress. We just pray for you because you're praying for something that God already wants.
That's right.
You know, God delights to fill people with his Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit came, you know. He came to give us the power to be his witnesses. And so he equips us for the job that he wants us to do. And anyone who's not filled with the Spirit, he wants to equip you for the job of being a witness. We're asking in God's will. Luke 11:13. So, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you ask, he answers, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants an infilling with the Spirit, we're going to pray for you at the end, okay? As for the rest of us, we've got no excuses. We got the power. I could break out into song again then, but I'm not going to. All right, we got the power. Now all we've got to do is pray for the courage that we'll use the power that God has given us, and we will speak up for God when we've got the opportunity. Like I was saying, it's not the pastor's job to do all the witnessing. You might think to yourself, well, the pastor's getting paid, so he should be doing it all. We've got to get rid of that mindset, okay? We, as a body, are all responsible for witnessing for what Jesus has done, and we know that he has done in our lives and what he can do for other people. So God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints for acts of service. So anybody who's a saint in here, you're equipped for acts of service. We've got to be serving God, okay? And one of the ways we serve God is by making Jesus known.
Yeah.
Do the work, fulfill the vision, make Jesus known. What is his work? Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. Again, very familiar scriptures to us. It's called the Great Commission. It's called great because it's great.
Yeah.
All right. This is what it says. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Let's read verse 20 as well. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So God, Jesus, he is with us always. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. So when we're witnessing, when we're giving our testimony, when we're, you know, sharing our faith with people, when we're doing the job of making Jesus known, God is with us. Jesus is with us.
Yeah.
The art of being a disciple is to make disciples. Okay. If you're happy just enjoying God's goodness and his grace and reaping the benefits of salvation, I believe God wants to make you unhappy. Okay, to agitate something in you, to cause you to see the vision of making Jesus known. Okay? All right, we want to see that becoming true in all of our lives, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, we can do that through acts of kindness, through inviting people to church, having friends around to your house, your relatives, around for lunch. Totally radical, you know. Pastor Shane was talking about food. How God often does things when there's loads of food on the table. Jesus, he took it one step further, didn't he? He didn't invite people around to his place. He invited himself around to their place. You imagine Jesus with all his disciples. Hey, we're coming round. We're coming round. It's the kind of thing Colin Smith does, isn't it? Okay. There he was when he was. Jesus was walking through Jericho. He saw Zacchaeus. He was up the tree. Yo, Zacchaeus, what are you doing up that tree? Don't you know what time it is? It's lunchtime. Get yourself down. We're coming around your house for lunch.
Yeah.
And he was happy to get himself down that tree, put on lunch for Jesus. And it says in the Bible, salvation came to that house that day. All right, so some of you got great gifts of hospitality. Just comes natural to you. You know, you like putting on a spread. You like inviting people around. Use that gift. You know, it's one of the gifts that are, there's loads of them. I haven't got time to go through them all today. But, you know, you can use gifts of hospitality. Get to know folks. Invite them to church and lunch afterwards. Lots of people like to eat, don't they, you know? So if you're inviting somebody to church and say, and come round for dinner afterwards, that's going to get the thumbs up by especially a lot of blokes anyway. All right. get people to prayer partner with you so they can pray whilst you're doing it as well, yeah? Just so that, you know, we can see that people can come along, we can see we're just ordinary people who've got an extraordinary God who's done things within our life, you know, and he can do exactly the same for them. And, I had a cheeky peek into one of Pastor Shane's Four Cups books. I saw it on your shelf there, so I flicked through like I do. All right. And the fourth cup of Passover is the cup of fulfillment. And some of the highlights, it said this: true fulfillment never comes alone. It can only be attained within a group of people.
It's true.
It's good. All right. Are we in this together?
Yeah.
I'll ask it one more time. Thanks, Shel. Are we in this together?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. And here was another quote from there: when we invest in each other's lives and work to accomplish God's goals together, it's so much enjoyable. It's so much more enjoyable to celebrate together. Yeah, we celebrate one another's victories. Yeah, when somebody leads someone to God, we all celebrate. It's what happens in heaven. Every time somebody turns to God, there is a party going on, and we need to be partying together more and more as the days go on. Okay, we wage war on the kingdom of darkness by making Jesus known. Through friendship, through proclamation, invitation, doing food together. As long as we're not doing anything strange, it's going to put people off. It's great. You know, just be creative. Yeah. Have fun. Go crazy. But not too crazy as it puts people off. Do you know what I'm saying? All right, be wise. He who wins souls is wise, it says. All right, so let's be wise with people that have never experienced church, never experienced God. But let's get the message out there. But we've got to make sure that we're not too afraid to mix it up with people that don't know God. Trouble is, if we've only got a friendship of people who do know God, which is a very easy habit to get into, isn't it? You know, we need to kind of force ourselves out of that mindset sometimes. Get to know people that God is reaching out to. Pray into the situation. You know, who can I extend an arm of love to? You know, who do you want to reach out to, God? You know, God can put people on your heart, like I said. You know, he gives you the desire in your heart, and then you try and reach out to that person. It's God's heartbeat to reach the lost with the message of salvation, and we're awfully glad that somebody did that for us, aren't we? You know, it's God's rhythm, his heartbeat rhythm, and we need to get in with that rhythm. All right, your flesh won't like it. The devil definitely won't like it, but God, he will love it. He will absolutely love it. Okay, we're going to pray in a bit, so I'm going to ask the band to come on up. And like I said, we're going to do two different types of prayer. If there's anybody out there and you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I'd love to be prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized with the Spirit because I want God's power to be at work within my life, and I want to be able to be a witness for God, like you was talking about, Steve. Then, whilst the band are playing, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I don't know the state of all of our hearts in here, but if you're in the building this morning and you think to yourself that you've been talking about this great fulfilling life that Jesus can bring for you, and you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I'd love to be fulfilled in my life, I know that there's something missing from my life, hey, I want to let you know that Jesus died for you. You know, we've got a nice pretty cross on there, but Jesus didn't die on a pretty cross. He died on an old rugged cross, as one of the hymns say, you know, and it was a painful death, but his pain was so that you wouldn't know pain in life. You know, he doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to be entering eternity without him. He died so that you could enter eternity and be with him forever. That's his plan for your life, you know, and the life that he wants to give you is a fulfilled life. So if you don't know Jesus this morning and you want to get to know him, you can come forward too. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Me and Shane will be here to pray for you just whilst the musicians are praying, okay? And is there anybody else who's out there and you're recognizing, this is probably going to be most of us to be honest, you're recognizing that, hey, it's my responsibility. I need to be a witness. You know, I want to be a witness. I want to say that, you know, I'm totally behind what God's doing and the vision of making Jesus known. Then what I'm going to ask us to do, we're going to do a prayer of agreement. So we're just going to stand up. And I'm going to do a general prayer so that we can agree together that God is going to help us to be able to be witnesses to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family. And if you're there and you're saying, you know, in your heart, you know, that that is something that you really want within your life, then you stand where you are. You can do that now if you like, you know, if you recognize that, yeah, that's you, and you want to kind of really be in the place where God wants you to be. And you want to be a witness. You want your witness to be effective. You want to be powerful. You want God's power to work through you. Okay? That's excellent. So we're going to pray that prayer first. And if it's something that you can agree with, fantastic. You know, God knows every heart. He knows where we are. You know, and perhaps you're thinking, I'm struggling with this whole kind of vision thing. Come and talk to us at the end, you know. And we don't mind praying with you about that. It's all right, you know. We can handle it. All right, we can handle it. But so yeah, I'm just going to do a prayer for all of us. And then if you specifically think to yourself, I want prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to be filled with God's power, I want to know what it is to have his power in me to be a witness. And also, if you don't know Jesus and you want a prayer to get to know Jesus, then you come forward just as the band are playing and just as I'm saying a prayer for everybody else. Okay. So Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your heart, Lord God, for your people, that you love us so much, that God, you don't want us just to live an empty life, Lord God, but you came to give us life and life to the full, a life that is going to count, Lord God. And I want to pray, Lord God, for us as we stand here before you, Lord God, we want to dedicate our lives to you afresh, Lord, because we want our lives to count for eternity, Lord. Yeah. We want to put our fingerprints, Lord, onto people's lives, Lord God. We want to be the people that are shoving people towards you, Lord God, in that gentle way, Lord, that you want us to. We want to be, Lord, effective witnesses for you. We want to be people, Lord, that are bringing others to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you have invested into us, Lord God. And I want to pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this morning that your heartbeat will become our heartbeat. We just be able to hear in the Spirit, Lord, your heart beating for those that don't know you yet, Lord God. And that, God, we'd be able to connect with your heart. Father, I pray, Lord, even now that you'd be laying people upon our hearts, Lord, that you'd drop something into our minds, into our spirits, Lord God, of people that don't know you, Lord God, that you want us to give our testimony to, you want us to pray for, you want us to maybe invite Ryan, Lord God, to lunch, Lord, or to dinner, or to invite ourselves round to them, Lord, whatever way it is that you want us to do it, just to go out with them and watch a film or something, go and get a chat with them. Lord, I pray that you were just going to give us, Lord, creative ideas, Lord, where we can get to know people and introduce them to you, Lord, in the way that you want us to, Lord. I pray that you are going to make us very, very effective, Lord God, at bringing people to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the plans and the purposes that you have for this church. Thank you, Lord God. You want to see 400 people in this place, Lord, as a footstool, Lord God, as a starting place, Lord God. And Father, we want to be able to commit ourselves and give ourselves to that, Lord God. We want to be rejoicing with all of heaven as we see more and more people coming to know you. I want to pray for myself, Lord God. You'll give me opportunities, Lord, to be able to witness to people. Even this week, Lord God, I pray, Lord, for everybody, God, whose heart, Lord, is turned to you in this, Lord, that every week they're going to have opportunities, Lord, to be able to speak to people about you. Lord, open doors, Lord, we're praying, into people's hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to finish in worship, and I'll just give that one last invitation again. If there is anyone here who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you come forward, or anybody here who doesn't yet know Jesus and you want to get to know him, or you want to kind of talk with someone, pray with someone, who's this Jesus you're talking about, then we're here to pray for you. Okay, thank you guys.
God, you show mercy. You show me grace.